I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. All right, that was not a bird. That's actually a sentence and translates as, "Do you have fresh bread?" in a northern Turkish whistling language. We've got not one, but two stories now about unexpected sounds from Turkey, an innovative instrument that ought to be in the soundtrack to The Day the Earth Stood Still, but first to a study that was recently released about this Turkish whistling language and how the brain processes whistling differently than normal speech. Journalist Michelle Nyhaus wrote about the study and this language for The New Yorker. Michelle, thanks for joining us. So in this northern Turkish town of Kuşköy, people speak Turkish, but many residents also speak this whistling dialect they call Kuşdili. Explain to me, first of all, what we mean when we say whistling language. Are they actually whistling words in Kuşköy?
Yes, they are whistling syllables. Everybody in Kuşköy speaks, of course, spoken Turkish, and many people also speak what you could call whistled Turkish, where syllables of spoken Turkish are translated into distinctive whistles that can be heard more than half a mile away.
Wow. So you reported on research done by a Turkish-born German biopsychologist named Onur Güntürkan. He was trying to figure out how the brain handles this particular language. Just first of all, how does the brain recognize speech?
Neuroscientists understand that the left hemisphere of the brain governs most forms of speech, atonal, tonal languages, even sign languages. But since whistling language also has some characteristics of music, and neuroscientists know that most things about music are processed by the right hemisphere, Güntürkan was curious about how the brain would handle this language that was somewhere between speech and music.
Yeah, so what did he find out?
He found out that while speakers of the whistling language understood speech like anybody else does, primarily with the left hemisphere, that they understood the whistling language that they had been speaking since they were children with both sides of the brain, that there was about an equal amount of stimulation to the right hemisphere as to the left hemisphere. And this hasn't been observed in any other form of speech. So Güntürkan was very excited about this result and now speculates that there may be some possibility for people who have left hemisphere damage to their brains and can't understand standard speech. There may be some possibility for them to understand a whistled dialect.
I mean, it has echoes of, you know, the way Alzheimer's patients can actually sing and remember songs from long ago.
That's right. If this were possible, it would be a very similar sort of compensation where people who can no longer speak in the typical way can sometimes discover that they can sing.
So this whistling language is apparently dying out. Why is that?
It's dying out for several reasons. When people visited this village in the 60s and 70s, it was widely used, not just in this one particular village, but all over the area, because a lot of people made their living goat herding. They were traveling long distances. It was very practical to have this kind of communication. Now, cell phones have come in, and it's not just because young people love gadgets or because they're lazy. They simply are getting tired of everybody knowing their business. So there's a really good reason to text instead of whistle your gossip all over the valley.
Did you learn any whistling words or phrases while reporting the story? What can you share with us?
I did not. It's very hard to do. If you see pictures of people whistling, they use this very complicated arrangement of their mouth and teeth and tongue. It's not just a standard puckered lip whistle that you might use whistling across the street.
Journalist Michelle Nyhaus, she wrote about northern Turkish whistling language, Kuşdili, for The New Yorker. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thanks, Marco.